Okay. All right. So welcome, everyone. I am super excited about today's class because this is a foundational subject, but it's one that oftentimes gets overlooked, which is understanding like the power of womanhood and lunar energy and what does it even mean. So I wanted to go back to this topic. Because it's very easy to forget the way that the world is, the way that we live. It's like the world is a constant reminder of the old way of seeing woman. It's like we were told what our identity was. We were told, you know, who we were in the eyes of society, in the eyes of man, in the eyes of God. And because this is such an old and strong program, there's gonna be a very intense, very long process to decondition our minds. Therefore, we need a lot of repetition, we need a lot of reminders, and we need to let this wisdom penetrate the deeper parts of ourselves so we can be in the most expansive version of womanhood. So, the power of womanhood is the power of reflection. I've mentioned multiple times that this is a reality of duality. And whenever we have the energetics of duality, you know, we see it in human beings, in the separation between male and females. And on a spiritual level, there is the solar and the lunar. I don't know about any other planets out in the world where there is life, if there is maybe like, you know, three bodies or four bodies, but in this reality, we have day and night. We have the sun and the moon. Those are the two most important celestial bodies that dictate the way that we live our lives. If it wasn't for these cycles, we would have a very different relationship with darkness. But we live in a planet, our home, Mother Nature, is designed in a way that it divides things into solar and lunar energy. So, because of this division that is present in nature, we have to also look at the division that's present in humankind, which is between the masculine and the feminine. With this division, we have the energy and the power of the moon and all of the lunar wisdom that was lost through years of programming and beating and just a very intense history of suppression and fear of the darkness. It's part of life, but it is important for us to return to the power of reflection. So, the first point to explore is what happened and when did we give our power away? What does it mean by the power away? Well, if we look at history, we see a pattern of almost like the enslavement of humanity. And domestically, that translates as the enslavement of women. You know, women were property, and it's like we were kind of cattle to create and break down societies. And there's this objectification, not only sexually, but just of our beings in general. So we can think, you know, from the very linear perspective of, well, we are physically weaker than men. Therefore, you know, there is an overpowering energy that's happening. However, what's really going on here is that whenever we observe the energy of power, right? There is feminine power in the softness of a woman. And being the portals of life gives us this added sense and this understanding of the energy from the perspective of we have to be powerful. Why else would there be so much focus on the control of womanhood and on the control of female sexuality if it's not something that is absolutely powerful? Because if something is not powerful, you don't really try to control it because it's like it's not going to do anything. But if something is very powerful or if something inspires a lot of fear, then I'm going to be more likely to try to control it. So there is a yielding of power that is in our collective history. And this yielding of power happened through the collective fear that we have, the collective wound that we have connected to the mother. What is the collective mother wound? The collective mother wound is our wound with nature. Because of our physical vulnerability and our unawareness of our spiritual power, we got afraid. And when we're scared, we don't know who we are because we are in the biggest delusion of them all, which is fear, disconnected from the reality that we are love. And in being disconnected from the reality that we are love and being disconnected from the reality that we are powerful because power and love are one, then we submit to that fear. And in that fear, I give my power away. To who? To the stronger side of humanity, which is the masculine. So one of the most important steps in the feminine liberation is taking responsibility for this decision collectively. Well, I didn't do it. Collectively, we did. We did give that power away out of fear of death, and out of fear of the, you know, death created and caused by Mother Nature. So it is a mother wound in essence. That's the importance of these developmental wounds, to address them not only in our personal life, but, you know, in our collective story, because there is a connection of that in our lineage, in our DNA. There's a connection between the fear that we experienced and the fear of, not the fear, but the result of giving our power away. So there is a rising of the feminine energy of the planet happening right now. How do we know this? Well, because we live in a reality where there's two. Everything is in movement. I talked last week or the week before, I think, about the rhythm, the drum, the boom, 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 right? Kind of like that rhythm of space and sound in and out. Like everything has this micro dance. If everything has this micro dance, including these sacred vessels that we have that are called our bodies, because we inhale and exhale, we consume and release. It's also happening on a macroscopic level as well. So as below, so above, as above, so below. And what this means is that if there is, you know, we think there's like daily cycles. Every day the sun rises and then it sets and then we have darkness and then it happens again and again. There's like smaller cycles and then there's bigger cycles and then there are way bigger cycles. And now whenever we're talking about the rising of the feminine on the planet, we're talking about a very big cycle because our known history has been the suppression of the feminine in all of us, in men and women. So because there is a power shift right now that is happening connected to the energy of Aquarius, which is the water bearer, it's the wise man, is the humanitarian. Every time we have this energy, there is a giving, a reversal. So in that reversal, we know that we're stepping into an age where there is the rising of the divine feminine energy in the planet. And we have to understand, like, if we have, you know, known of $5,000 of history where there has been the enslavement of humanity and the enslavement of women, then now we're going to stop with the freedom movement. And freedom starts with the cells. We've already have experienced the freedom created by groups of people that say, like, no more physical slavery. And it still exists, but it's not, it's something hidden, something that's still on the, you know, the scorpionic energy of behind the shadows of the darkness. Where back in the day, the energy of slavery was something that was accepted in society as a part of life. That's no longer the case. So now we have kind of brought light into that physical slavery, right? And then now we're in the age of the mental slavery and the time slavery, where our time belongs to whoever is, you know, providing for us. And there is also like, there is like a dance between freedom and enslavement of like, what is freedom to me? Because there is sometimes freedom in that energy because there is safety in it. But if we look at it from a collective perspective, you know, it's still a mental enslavement to the programs and to overproduction and to productivity. And this is something that we experience in every single society. In some societies, it's way more intense. And in other societies, it has loosened up a little bit, but still that heavy consciousness of inner slavery. So the component and the aspect of life that needs to be freed starts with the feminine, because it's feminine and masculine. Everything that's inside, like the core, because the portal of life being woman is the core of things. That's like the closest thing to the heart. And the externalized energy is the masculine energy. So whenever we're talking about freedom, about empowerment, about healing, it starts with the feminine principle. Everything starts with the feminine principle. Yes, the history of the world, it said, like, you know, Godfather and the men created the universe, and there is a he for everything. But every single human being that exists on this planet has been delivered in this world through a woman. So the beginning is woman. Why did they make it seem like the beginning was man? Well, that's, you know, that's a religious mystery. Eventually we'll figure out what was the plot twist there. But life begins through woman. Every human being has to experience the rite of passage of a woman in order to arrive at this planet. That gives us a lot of information because nature is a reflection of our divine power. Nature is the materialized, externalized expression and mirror of this divinity within. So because if we observe nature, we see this. We see that the feminine energy on this planet is the path. Therefore, everything starts by connecting with this feminine energy. Because of this, it is very important that we as women begin embracing what womanhood is, what our feminine energy is, and how to express it, and how to take ownership of it. Because right now there's like a energetic enslavement of that energy as well. We can see it, you know, wherever you look deep enough, you can observe it. So that leads me to, you know, the modern woman. Right? What is to be a modern woman, a westernized woman that lives in the Western societies, that has access to the internet, to Instagram, to jobs, has work opportunities, opportunities for education. We are expected to produce at a, you know, certain energy, just like the masculine. We're fighting for equality, and there is a confusion about what that means. And people think, like, you know, the fight for equality is we are the same, and yeah, I'm gonna go lift the heavy boxes. And there's just so much conversation around that because there's a miscommunication between the two polarities. Why? Because they have been separate, and now we're like trying to understand and unite these two polarities. And that externalized battle that we see is also happening within ourselves. So the modern woman, this is such a complex experience because we have to deal with this leveling that happened of like, okay, if we look at the history, like let's go back to Egypt, and then there is the slaves and the slave masters. All of the slaves, regardless of gender, you know, they are on the same energy. What's happening there on a solar and lunar energy level is that the lunar energy is also an indication of the masses. And the solar energy is the powers. So the powers control the masses. So everybody got put on their feminine polarity. And then all of a sudden, you enslave the feminine polarity in men and women, and you extract its work, you extract its art, you extract its sexuality, you extract everything from it, which is the reflection of what's also happening on the earth with the extraction of oil and resources, the, you know, the stealing of lands, the enslavement of peoples. Like this is basically lunar energy being slaved. And if I'm saying, okay, this is what's going on externally, how does that translate to the modern woman, to the one that wakes up and loves her family and goes to work and goes to yoga and hangs out with their girlfriends? And, you know, how does that even translate? Well, we dive deeper and deeper because remember, it's an inner path. And the most important aspect of our life that we need to take a hold of is our sexuality. That's the place. That's like the little, you know, the what is it called? The wormhole, like in space, whenever you have this like wormhole, like black holes that lead to other dimensions, like sexual energy becomes that. It becomes the gateway to other worlds, to other realities. And the woman that takes ownership of her sexuality, it sounds, you know, if I just say that ownership of my sexuality, or that means that I sleep with whoever I want. It goes much deeper than that because that energy, our sexual energy has been deeply conditioned. And something's conditioned. I don't know it's conditioned because I am conditioned to not see it. So it's like being trapped in a cage that you cannot see. And you're like, but where is the cage? Because if I don't see it, how do I know I'm in a cage? I feel free. And my freedom is I'm going to sleep with whoever I want. And that is sexual freedom. And this is not the case. This is it doesn't mean that you don't do that if you want to. But what it means is that it's beyond sleeping with people. It's beyond sharing your sexuality with others. This is about my relationship to my sexuality and wondering, what is this sacred energy? I wrote some notes and I cannot understand them now. Adapting versus dictating. What did I mean? I'm sorry, I see 1 second. Okay. So in this conversation of sexuality, I'm going to give you a few examples. That way we can bridge into the deeper part of the conversation. I travel a lot and I get to always, you know, talk with the girls and find out. And sometimes when I go to a new place, I date, sometimes I don't. So I'm in this constant movement, and that has given me the opportunity of hearing the collective consciousness of many places. And what's very interesting is that there is a pattern that I saw that I attracted into my life. And maybe I attracted it so I can tell you this story. But the pattern is, I have been in 4 multiple places. Yeah, 4 different places. And in 4 of those places, at some point in my time there, I got into a conversation with a woman where it goes something like, you know, how's dating going? And how's this? And I'm complaining about all the things that are not working. And they're like, oh yeah, it's the same for me, blah, blah, blah. And then they tell me, you know, whenever I say like, well, this is how I see myself and my sexuality. And these are my boundaries based on my values and based on the work that I've done, based on my tantric path, based on how I see myself and the power of my sex. And what's happening there? Wait a minute. I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. 1 second. Oh my God. I think I started the class 30 minutes too early today. Oh my God. I'm early to class. What the hell? I was like, why am I getting notifications? That class is about to start in 10 minutes. We're already in it. Well, there might be a reason for it. Wow. This is interesting. Very interesting. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens in 10 minutes. When people start showing up, I was like, this is a small number of attendees today. Maybe I'll do a quick summary and maybe that will be my lesson to just like get to a point quicker. Okay. So the pattern that I've heard from this woman was, oh, but the men here are not like that. And this has been specifically on the same subject, which is like, no, I just don't sleep around if I don't know the person, or I'm not going to be sexually intimate until there is a hard connection. And in 4 different places, there has always been one woman that tells me, well, men like that are not like that. Men here are not like that. And every time I've heard this, I have felt like a stabbing, like that, a stabbing in my chest, like a pain. Because it's like, so it's based on the masculine's expectation of the feminine of a place, how women should relate to, like, and it makes me want to shake them up and slap them and be like, wake up, woman. But I don't. Just smile and nod my head and say like, well, you have your opinion, I have mine. But it's, you know, the first time it happened, it's the first time it happened. But then over time, I'm like, oh my God, this is a consciousness. It's a virus. That's how I see it. It's a virus of a branch of the same energy. I'm sorry, guys. I gotta go get some water. I got choked up talking about that. 1 second, I'll be back. Welcome. Oh, she left. Okay. All right. So in this, you know, in this realization that this is an extension of still of that energy, that it is the masculine that dictates how the feminine should respond. That is the big program. That's this program I'm talking about. And this goes beyond womanhood. This goes, like I said, it's about lunar energy. And lunar energy is the energy of the masses. And the best picture to understand this lunar energy related to the masses is the pharaoh and then all the slaves. The pharaoh is the sun, and then all the slaves are the moon. So this is the power of understanding that we as women, we are embodying lunar energy. And if we want to observe freedom on the outside, we have to start with ourselves. All right, so the conversation I had here of adapting to male power versus dictating such power. I am feeling called to, this is something that I was going to talk towards the end of class, but I'm feeling like the time is now. The story of creation, whenever we look at the Bible and the creation of woman, this idea that, you know, God created man and then from its rib, he created woman. And this story has been used to kind of symbolize like the aspect of, you know, it can be protection, or it's almost like it's part of me, part of men. And there's also, you know, all these things. I would like to tap a little bit into that religious paradigm just for a second here of, okay, this story, we know it holds a lot of collective power. And if it holds a lot of collective power, there are parts of ourselves that are directly engaging with that energy, whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not. It is just part of like the complex of humanity on this side of the world specifically. So from that lens, you know, we have to observe that these patriarchal religions are called patriarchal religions for a reason. What does it mean to be patriarchal is related to the father energy. If it's related to the father energy, it's related to masculine energy. Therefore, they are guidelines for the masculine, for the solar energy. On the lunar path, everything that is trans, all the wisdom, all the lunar wisdom gets shared through story, gets shared through like womanhood, through our connection, through our bodies, through fairy tales, through art, to music, because it's a lunar path. The lunar is nighttime. The lunar is hidden. So we don't have the holy texts that the masculine path has. And this is for a reason. I think like eventually humanity will get to a point where it's going to have to reconcile both of those. Right now, we're not in this point yet collectively, but we have a unique opportunity right now of uniting energetically these two polarities and stepping into that vibration of inner union, of the inner marriage, because that inner marriage between the masculine and the feminine, that's the result of Tantra. And Tantra is weaving together, is to unite. What are we uniting? The two polarities within myself. So if there is that union happening, if my inner feminine and my inner masculine come into union, that is the holy marriage. And then from that, a third energy gets born from it, which is indication of the dove, the Holy Spirit, the vibrational energy, the love, the power to create universes, the power to create our lives. I feel a sense of urgency with this message, a sense of urgency with like the awakening and the connection and the remembrance that women need to have. Like we need to remember this. We need to be activated in this energy, and we need to become that light for others. And the way that energy, feminine energy teaches is not through what I'm doing right now. I am using masculine means of teaching to connect with you all in the lunar energy. But this is not the, like, this isn't like my fully lunar teaching. This is me utilizing my solar energy, my penetrating wisdom of what I've learned. And then I'm sharing it with you all. The way that my own feminine energy and your feminine energy, your lunar energy is going to transform lives is by you being the most woman that you can be, the most lunar being that you can be. to become that vessel of reflection, to reflect everything that is, because that is the sacred path of woman. It is also connected to the energy of the snake, you know, in like the Adam and Eve, their story, and then the snake and the apple. Like, feminine energy moves horizontally, you know, it wants to pull energy into this reality, into the physical. That's why we give life. That's why we have that portal. We have the womb, which is also very symbolic, to have a womb, to have space within, because space is what needed for creation. Without space, we cannot create. Space is needed for creation. So the fact that we have an organ that holds space, whether you have it or not, right? Like, say you had a hysterectomy and you're like, okay, so what now? It's like energetically, to be born under the blessing of lunar energy is to be blessed with the energy of space. And that space, connected with the lunar energy, makes you a sacred reflector of everything around you. And as such, you can learn and you can move through life in this way. Lunar power is living on the command of life, is living at the rhythm of life, where all of a sudden, all this struggle, all this heaviness of work and having to do things and just go, go, go. And like all, you know, all of this like exhaustion of the world doesn't exist whenever we're living under lunar power. Because lunar power is cooling, is soothing, because it's dark. There is a slowness, external slowness, but there is an internal speed to it. Whenever we look at pictures of the goddesses, for example, of the tantric goddesses, a lot of them have multiple arms. So why does a goddess need 8 arms and not just 2? That is to indicate the workings of the feminine, of lunar wisdom. Because I can be doing something right here with these hands over here, but over here I'm creating something else. And over there, I am moving another reality. And whenever I surrender to my lunar power and I live under the breath and rhythm of the goddess, the lunar energy, the divine feminine flow, then all of a sudden I don't have to do that much, because there's so much energy that is being done for me behind the scenes. That is the symbolism of all of these arms that many of these goddesses have. So if we connect with this lunar power, if we connect with our ability to embody that, embody the energy of space, embody the energy of the moon, and be the sacred reflection of the world, then all of a sudden we are not in this willful solar energy of these are my goals and I'm going to get here and this is how, and break down the goals into smaller things and blah, 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 blah. It's almost as if you're like, yes, I can do this process. I can spend 30 minutes doing this process of breaking down the goals and writing them down just for the pleasure of the mind. The mind needs that safety. But the real getting there, like like enjoying the journey of getting there, whenever we are embodying lunar feminine energy, is like being carried by the cosmic mother. And she's like, okay, we can go through this path or we can go through this path, but this path is going to require that you push and you pull the trolley and you have to get your luggage. But this path over here that doesn't make sense to the mind, you're going to have valet service, you're going to have a butler, you're going to have somebody carrying your suitcases. And on top of that, there's going to be a stopping every time where you're going to get massages and you're going to get flowers and you're going to get adored and received and fed. Which path do you want? The whole world is like this one, because that's the one we know, because we know how to be good slaves. It's in our DNA. It's there. We know how to survive if we work and we prove our worthiness and our right to exist and live. Because like, look, everything I can do, the dancing monkey energy. Look at everything I can do. I'll build you a chair. I'll build you a house. I'll cook for you. I'll do anything. Just let me live. This survival energy, this needs to be healed, and it is going to be healed. And part of that big, you know, that first wave of the purging of this energy was with COVID. People had to confront the fear of death head on. And some people were terrified and some people were just like in, you know, in denial. So people were like, bring it on, I'm ready to die. And we saw the we saw that first, like, you know, movement of this survival energy. We don't know how to trust the lunar. We really don't. But right now, I can guarantee you a few things. First of all, I can stand over here and talk about all of this and nobody's going to come and burn me. No holy man is going to come and call me a witch and take me to town square so I can get beaten down. Luckily, the woman before us, the man before us that knew that this shit was twisted, they created space for me to be able to do this and say blasphemies to you all about, you know, conditioning and religion and just like this deep inner spiritual slavery that we were experiencing. And I can still live. And if I die, it's going to be by other means, but it's not going to be because of my voice. So we are in a unique time in our history of womanhood, especially the modern woman, the modern Western woman. I want you to feel the responsibility of that. Whenever you look at women in the world where there's still like genital mutilation going on, where there's still, you know, like Iran, where a woman has to get permission from her husband to, you know, to drive, to go out to work, like this still exists. But then over here on this side of the world, we have carved those freedoms already. We fought for those freedoms energetically. Our ancestors, our lineage, the ones before us, they created a little bit of space, and that's all we need to, what's the word? To conceive more of that lunar energy. Just a little bit of space. We have it here. That's why activating into womanhood, into lunar womanhood on the West at this time, it's such an important thing to do right now, and it's a sacred responsibility. Do we dare to live in this smoother lunar way? Do we dare? Because we're going to have to perch through our survival instinct. This is like thousands of years in our DNA that's like, no, we must work in the way the slave masters want us to work. It's so here. It's so deeply in ourselves when we have to see it. And the only way to see it is like, you know, you bring it into your awareness. You're like, holy shit, now that I see it, I can free myself from it. But if I don't see it, then I'm just still slaving myself to it. Life is not meant to go in this rhythm that we have it. Look how long does it take to grow an orange or a lemon or strawberries? Like life is slow. So this overproduction cycle of the world, it's the manifestation, the modernization of this enslavement system. So the freedom that we're seeking on a collective level, yes, it's, you know, it's kind of utopian to even talk about it right now, but it starts with the self and it starts with, can I free my feminine? Can I let her exist in her slowness, in her cooling energy, in her like wind? Can we just let her flow and let her take us into this inner journey? The other option will always be there. It will always be there. I will say this. We can go into like lunar trust and surrender all of this energy, back into fear survival, back into solar energy, and then surrender into a lunar, back into a solar. And this path is just a waste of time, honestly. Like if you're going to stick to the masculine path, stick to it, commit to it and be in it. But if you're going to dare to risk, take the risk of trusting the unknown of who you are, trusting the lunar energy and knowing and trusting, you know, the divine mother, life source, that there is a wisdom higher than ourselves, that there's an intelligence that created all of this and we cannot even comprehend its depth. If we can cultivate the humility to know that we don't know, we don't understand the great mystery, then we'll be able to trust and surrender. That requires faith. Faith in what? Faith in love. How do we access love? Right here, through you. It's through you. It's not through a temple. It's not through another person. It's an inner journey. So stepping into this inner journey is the path towards this lunar energy. And this lunar energy, it's big. See, it's not just our individual lives right here. We get to be pillars for that. But this is beyond ourselves, but it starts with ourselves. And I've spoken about the you know, that polarity of like Leo and Aquarius, Leo being the star, being like, I am here, look at me, I exist, me, my heart, right? Like this, like heart center energy. And then Aquarius, which is like us, the collective. We cannot step into us, the collective, without the heart, without the Leo energy, without the importance of me and my individuality. Collective humanity only works when there is respect for the individuality. And if that's the case, then we can only see a change in our external reality whenever we honor the internal reality. First, the feminine. The feminine comes first. Take care of that feminine part of yourself first, and then the masculine part will show up. Practically, how does it look? Take care of your inner world, and I promise you that your outer world will start shifting and adjusting and adapting to it. And that leads me back to the story of the Bible, of the rib. What if I can feel all the witch trial hunters in their grave? What if it wasn't that like Godfather created men, and then from men the rib was born, you know, became a woman? What if the goddess is a woman, and the woman needed her protection, and therefore there was the creation of the masculine component to serve her softness? Because that's what's needed in this planet that we live in. We need that externalized strength. We need the arms of men. We need the thickness of their skin to fight off the elements. But the softness of the divine feminine, of the goddess, of the sweet, compassionate, tender aspect of divinity and of creation lives in a woman's heart. Maybe it's like that. Maybe it's backwards. And creating that little twist within ourselves of, if it only originated from the goddess herself, and having the blessing and the opportunity of being a woman and embodying lunar energy, and having the blessing of bleeding every month with the moon, and having just like being this connected to nature and the earth, being the portal of life, being the channel, the vehicle for new humans to enter into this reality. What if that is the connection to creation and not the other way around? Not Godfather rejected his phallic energy and created, and then the man and then the woman. But what if it's the other way around? The woman needed her protection. The softness needed her protection. And then from the protection, we grow together. But I am the guide to this spiritual world. I am the guide. Like, I have a direct connection, a direct line connection to the divine energy. That is not to say men don't have it, but men have it through access to their divine feminine energy. They are very disconnected from it because they had to, it was forced also. Like, it's like, so if we at least have been able to preserve some of that softness and delicacy of lunar energy, then it is on us to give space and bring back this specific energy. And I would like to invite you into, you know, just to step into breaking out of the pattern of this patriarchal, masculine, you know, divine energy of like the God, like the you know, the masculine energy. What if we can picture God instead of, like, at least in my case, you know, I was raised Catholic, picturing like a bearded, white-haired guy with a white robe sitting with an angry face on, just pointing fingers. If God could choose any form, why wouldn't he choose the form of a little girl? Of just this, like, the most, like, delicate form of humanity. Because then we have masculine and feminine. Okay, the feminine. And then from the feminine, from adulthood to babyhood, is like, you know, the baby is, it's completely dependent of its environment. But then the child energy, it's like, it has its individuality. It's like, oh, I exist. I know. It's me and you. It understands the separation. Like, can that image begin shifting some of this rigidity of the cages, of the programs that are there, that exist within ourselves. And if you've experienced a lot of like religious programming and there is trauma around that, this is a very powerful meditation of whenever you connect with God, because just the word God, it has a masculine tone to it. Bring in the image of this little girl of like, yeah, that's the form that all powerful creation will probably choose. Because to hold that much power to create life, it's like what is power? What is power if it doesn't have that love? So this image is also, you know, it's connected to the energy in terms of like Tantra with one of the Mahavidyas, which is called Tripura Sundari. Her childlike aspect is Bara Tripura Sundari. And this energy of Bala and the mantras for Bala Tripura Sundari are used in sound healing and panchang and Shakti yoga as a way of healing from menstrual pain and things related to blood. So there is some hidden symbolism there. Another angle to look at the power of womanhood from is to really connect with the energy of being portals of life. And we know that, you know, women are portals of life, of literal human life. But if life is a human, life is also universes. Life is also life. What is life? Is life just a plant, just a baby? Or is it everything? Because if we are portals of life, and we allow ourselves to believe this thing and to take on this energy of like, okay, I'm a portal of life. Couldn't you be also a portal of universes, a portal of worlds, a portal of just like existing? And if that is the case, if I'm a portal of an universe and the world and existing, then what do I want to birth? What do I want to create here? By the way, I just had the craziest deja vu in that moment. What do we want to create? If you're a portal of a universe, what world do you want to live in? And that is the power that we have. I don't know how, and our minds, we're never going to comprehend it with our mind. It's just not going to happen. This is a limited tool that we have. But truth is felt with the heart. And connect with your heart right now and tell me you don't feel it. That somehow we're all creating our own individual universes. We're sharing some space together, but there is something about the creation of our individual universes. If you're a portal of life and you're a portal of universes, what universe do you want to create for yourself? Indulge the idea. I'm not saying like, this is the will, and this is the way. I'm saying like, let's be playful with this and try it out and then tell me about it. Because I can, like, I've tried it out and I can tell you all about it, you know, but like as of right now, I'm just like, you know, speaking into the interwebs and letting the internet know. And I'm letting you guys know kind of like my experience of this. But until it's not an experience for you, it's just words, it's just concepts. I'm just like talking to your brain. But if you dare to dream and you dare to observe yourself as a portal of a universe and you take responsibility for like, well, what kind of universe do I want to create? And you just push the boundaries of what's possible and you start seeing that reflected back to you, then that's going to also create a self-feeding loop of even more confidence into your lunar energy, into your feminine power. This is a reclamation of power, the power of creation, the power of sovereignty, the power of freedom. Freedom can only be understood by its polarity. What's the polarity of freedom? Slavery. That's the polarity of freedom. How do these two dualistic concepts build on each other? How are they dancing together? If we're here, none of us are physical slaves. We don't have to do that anymore. But what are we enslaved to? If you haven't digested, what is what is that slavery of my lunar nature, of my feminine, of life, of the world inside of me? What is the equivalent of that externalized demon inside of me? And until you digest it, eat it away with your inner light, with all of your inner goddesses that are there always present, how can you know true freedom? So this is like if I were to describe this, I'm like, usually I like to like poke around the heart, right? The heart of woman. Today, I'm in hummingbird energy. I have a peak and I'm like going deep. And I don't know why I feel this need. Like today was like, let's go there. Let's like dig in there. I feel like something huge is about to happen in my life. I don't know what it is. It's just like a feeling. But I feel this hummingbird energy of like, oh my God, there is an energy in all of us that it needs to be poked. It needs to be poked. And it's connected to the duality of slavery and freedom, the inner slavery and the inner freedom. Because what we want really is freedom. If we're in spirituality, we're learning about, you know, about consciousness and about empowerment, about freedom, about healing, because we want that freedom. We want that freedom. So we have to free ourselves from that internalized part of ourselves that is still enslaving. And liberation, blasting open. That's what needs to happen. And in that blasting open, it's a reclamation of power. How do you reclaim your power? Your inner universe has a throne. And usually that throne, it's locked up in chains by the powers that be that programmed all of this disconnection from power. Well, that hummingbird energy just broke through those chains. The throne is ready. So now you just have to go and sit in it. You sit in the chair of your universe and you're like, okay, if I am a portal of universes, what life do I want to create? What world do I want to see? You have the space for it. You have a womb space. There's a portal in all of us. So claim your power, sit on the chair. What's the chair? That's the sexual energy. See, it's like, that's the sexual energy. The throne of your power is your sexual energy. You go there and you explore it and you sit with it and you observe what it wants to lead you. And then you just create with it. Just create whatever you want. Remember that, you know, the pain you've experienced is your compassion. And your actual experiences are your wisdom. That's why this power was given to woman. This space power, this channel of life power, channel of universe's power. That's what was given to woman. Your suffering is your compassion. So turn your experiences into wisdom. Create with compassion by becoming aware of the pain you've experienced and transmuting it and alchemizing it and take ownership of your creative right and begin creating a universe that you desire to observe. Create what you want to witness and observe. If enough of us do this, we're going to see a change. And I'm not saying in the whole wide world. No, you know, this is an infinite space, but in our universes, in the energy that we move in the radio frequency that we're all tuned to. Because in this moment, we're all in a specific radio frequency, sharing and moving this information. If we all do this, something magical is going to happen on this side of the universe, on this radio station. So this is all about power. Starts with your sexuality. It belongs to you, is yours. Sit down on your throne and begin creating. This work is not from the outside in, it's from the inside out. And that's the reversal of that creation story of woman being on the rib of Adam. No, the rift created the entire body to protect her, to deal with Mother Nature. But she is connected to the divine, to the space, to the womb. And whenever you have a near-death experience, guess what you see? You see a gigantic yoni, black with like stars, almost like a universe, but it's a yoni. It looks like a yoni. I'm like, holy shit. I feel like I think I died. And the first time I saw that was when I had a car accident and I was going 90 miles per hour. And then a drunk driver hit me on I-10. And then my car just got off I-10 and started like flipping. And how long does that last? Probably a few seconds, right? But for me, it was a very long time. I just felt like the car was like, whoa, boom, like that, like very slow. And whenever I was like, no, my mother, my sister, like the dying experience, it's a yoni. You see a yoni. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is death, a yoni. And then the yoni became like the images of the Virgin Mary, which is, it looks like she has a veil, but that also kind of looks like a yoni. And then you, then all of the images in like tantric temples in India where there's yonis around. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, the whole world has it backwards. The whole world has it backwards. You don't need a near death experience to like feel the truth of this, because we have it. We all have a mother, whether she was good or bad, amazing or terrible. We've come through the vehicle of a womb, of space. The feminine is the creation. So the liberation happens with the feminine, and the feminine within us is what's going to free us from absolutely everything. So I feel complete with all of this. I would love to open up. I know we have a very small group today, but I would love to open up a conversation if anybody feels like talking for a little bit, sharing. Curious to hear your thoughts.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
For the class. I'm happy to be here. You like, oh, like everything was so powerful. One thing that just really, truly resonated really intensely with me is when you were talking about like that unconditioned, like the unconscious programming, that conditioning. And when you mentioned about like, you know, how like us as women, like, okay, let me do this, let me do that, like choose me, like that worthiness, like that go, go, go energy to present ourselves, how we're conditioned to be all of, like to be everything for everyone all the time. Could you go into a little bit more detail on the path, on what that looks like to still have that solar energy that is required, but to get more into that lunar feminine energy as far as like productivity or just moving about?
Well, it's interesting because it's complicated as well. We do have very obvious physical needs that need to be taken care of in the system. And we live in a system that is built on that, right? So it's not, you know, it's like the easy way is like you unplug completely from it, surrender to feminine energy. But the way in which I see it, in which that we can begin embodying and flowing through that lunar energy is, first of all, noticing the impulse. Because the programming and the conditioning runs on an impulse. What does it mean? Like, we need somebody to stay late today because X, Y, Z. There's going to be an impulse of like, I can do it. If you can start catching the impulse, then you can explore the impulse. And the impulse is usually, you know, that condition part that's like, because I've proven my productivity. Not only in like as this physical vessel, but as like my past selves and my ancestral line, because I've proven my productivity. Therefore, I am celebrated, or I am allowed to live, or I am taken care of. We need to like catch that impulse of like noticing where that's coming from. Is it coming from a desire, or is it coming from an impulse to fulfill an identity or an idea of how I should be? And the feminine path is about following desire, choosing to do what excites you. And if it doesn't excite you, then you understand that that part of you, the impulse, it's from your solar nature, and you can choose to do it or not to do it. But to decondition ourselves, we first need to observe it. Why? Because observing something is like bringing in that Shiva energy within ourselves, that divine masculine energy, and penetrating that just with the light of our awareness. And just, I see it. And when I see it, it's released. Shiva is the destroyer. What does that mean? When I observe a pattern, the pattern doesn't exist anymore because I've observed it. And the conditioning indicates that I'm like my animal nature has been adjusted to like do this thing every time there is this thing, to jump in whenever help is needed. If I'm being, you know, threatened to like, oh, I'm gonna kill you. No, 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 I'll do this thing. Like that conditioning happens to the animal. That Shiva energy, that presence, that's our divine nature. So observing your impulse to serve and then questioning whether this impulse to serve is coming from a desire, which starts in the yoni, starts in the sexual energy, starts in the root chakra. It's like a like that, like I want to go do this, versus I am fulfilling and responding to a pattern. Did that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
I'm curious, Dana, if you feel like sharing, like, what are some areas in your life that you have maybe already become aware that it might be an impulse to serve and not necessarily a genuine desire?
Yeah, I could see that in my life a lot of times. Well, not so much. I would observe that. I'm the only female in leadership at where I work at my station. And I would see that a lot in the women that I train up to be supervisors that are like, yes, let me do it. Let me do it. Like, and I'm like, you're over. You know, you're gonna burn yourself out, because I experienced that when I first started. Like, I have to raise my hand to everything to prove it. And I'm like, what is that? And now what you just mentioned about that impulse, and I'm like, okay, I am starting to do that. I am starting to pause before I'm like, no, yeah, let somebody else handle that. Like, that's slowing down, but still being selective. I think that was the thing before, where you just have to do it all, as like that energy of I'm gonna select where I put my energy versus my energy being dragged out of me. So I'm trying to channel more of that in my life, but I could see it a lot in work.
That's beautiful. When you were sharing, what came to mind for me is like, not to mind, but I just felt this energy. We're talking a lot about like, okay, lunar energy, and the lunar energy being this, it's like almost like polarizing ourselves into the feminine and trusting that, letting it do its thing. But it doesn't matter, like at work, we're all in this energy, but to allow ourselves to have this belief that the masculine energy in other people want to serve the feminine energy of the world. I like to observe also, like, let me give you an example, because this is gonna get like so complex. Whenever I go visit a girlfriend, right? And she's not into this spirituality world at all, still very conditioned, good intentions. So she does everything for everyone. And then we have like three women, and I go visit, and we're around, right? And then we sit down, and there somebody needs something, and I see my two friends in that jumpy, like, I'll get up, and I don't move a finger, and I just lay back, and I'm like, at first that was so uncomfortable, because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to think, or, you know, they're not going to feel like I'm taking care of them. And like, and there was so much fear in that energy of just like making myself comfortable. But then I flipped it in my mind. I was like, what if I am showing them what it's like to like stay on that very receptive energy? And I wonder what would happen if the three of us will just sit down on a lunar energy. How would who is gonna go get the glass of water? If the three of us are sitting in this lunar passive energy of like, I feel, I desire, and then what are the arms that does the thing for me? I don't know. I haven't had that experience yet. And I actually, I hope someday to like be able to do like in-person retreats or groups or something like that, where, you know, where we like work for a little bit to step into that energy and then just observe what happens when we are in this lunar energy. But what I can say is, like, if you step into a lunar energy, a solar energy is going to show up. Somebody's solar energy is going to show up. And we only gain trust in that with experiences, by witnessing it. So I love, you know, your share, Dana, because it's like you're observing it in like in other women that are like in this energy of like me, me, me. But let me do it. Let me prove my worth that I can be here and I have what it takes to be here. But what if, you know, you're able to step into that energy more often and just show, like, I don't know, be evidence of that for them so they can observe that and be that, you know, I don't know, like radicalize the workplace in a way of what would that look like? That's a mystery. That's why it's so beautiful, because it's a mystery. And in this case, it will be your mystery. So I'm experiencing that in my friendships with women and kind of like noticing these patterns and noticing that, you know, that I'm just not doing anything unless I absolutely want to and I feel like it. And then I do it with passion and drive. But otherwise, I'm not over giving of myself anymore. So yeah, just wanted to say that, but thank you for sharing. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I'm so sorry about the scheduling thing that happened today. I don't know why I started 30 minutes earlier. I was just in some other universe. But I will be releasing tonight the new course called Sexually Emancipated, and it's about healing sexual trauma. And, you know, under my definition of sexual trauma, which is any sexual advance that wasn't welcome, enjoyed, or understood, and that creates sexual trauma in the body. So I will be sending emails, if not tonight, by tomorrow, but it will probably be tonight because the moon is in Bharani Nakshatra. Bharani Nakshatra is symbolized by the yoni and the womb and is the bearer. And because this is going to be sexual healing, like I feel like it has to be done under this moon. So I have until midnight my time to just send that email. But I'm going to be sending a coupon code for a discount for, you know, the Venusian list for being in the email list. And then tomorrow I'll probably do social media, share on social media. So there's going to be two tiers of this. There's going to be the course. And the course is just, you know, the pre-recorded modules is going to be 8 weeks. We're going to have one onboarding call together. Everybody is going to be a live call, but then it's like 8 pre-recorded modules. And then there's going to be a premium option of also getting the recorded 8 modules and weekly calls to support. So we're going to do like a group coaching setting in case that you do need more support with that. And if you're part of Bharani, then you get access to it. Regardless. All right. So with that, I leave you guys. Thank you so much for showing up earlier. And if you have any feedback or you want me to explore a specific subject, you can email me or reach out to me on social media with your request. And then I would love to get a little bit more, like, you know, not just me coming up with the subjects and then teaching the class, but kind of like serving you in what you want to hear and what you want to learn about. So, all right. Thank you. Have a beautiful week, everyone. See you guys next Thursday. Bye.